Well, you know, it's a great honor to have Pastor David Jones and Carolyn with us. Pastor Dave pastors Bethel Community Church in Royston, England. He's one of the great and one of the best kept secrets in the body of Christ. We are truly blessed to have him. I'm telling you that when you leave this morning, you will never have heard what you will hear this morning. That's how confident I am in what you're about to hear. He's one of the great Bible teachers that I have known in all my life. I told him yesterday, he reminded me of a great English Bible teacher that I used to love to read after and hear by the name of John Phillips. And since I've not known anyone, since listening to Pastor John Phillips, have I heard anyone like Pastor David Jones. He's a great gift to the body of Christ. One of the great teachers, one of the great Bible teachers. If there's anything that's missing in the body of Christ, it's biblical literacy. And he has a passion for the church. And I'm going to tell this story because I just feel like I want to. But, you know, he took his church 2 years teaching on the bride of Christ. He went through the whole Bible teaching on every bride that was in the Bible. And he took his whole church through that. And then shortly after that, he began to teach segments of that in different places. And people are like, that's a book. And so he was encouraged to write a book, but the problem was he had difficulty in putting the book together because he never had notes. And so y'all see me come up here. I look like I'm carrying a library when I come up here. And but he never took notes, so he had to go back and listen to the CDs that he taught in order to get the notes, in order to write the book. So we have his book that's available this morning. It's $15. It's in the foyer. And he's going to teach a little bit this morning on the coming bride. But would you put your hands together and welcome all the way from Royston, England, Pastor David Jones. Hallelujah.
Wow. I'm not as good as Pastor Shane just said. You know, actually, I always feel a little bit of a fraud when I preach. Because all I do is read the Bible and then tell you what I've read. I don't come up with any original thoughts. I don't have any original information. I just read what's in the Bible and then I tell people what it says. Okay? That's all I do. That's all I do. So don't expect anything more than that. That's all I do. Why are we here this morning? Okay, that's good. We're here to praise God. That's a good start. Why does God want us here this morning? You see, I can hear lots of it. They're all correct. But do you know, what was God's plan in creating the universe in the first place? Why did God create anything? Why did God bother? Why was God unhappy with himself? Was the Trinity not in unity? Was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit not together? Did they not have perfect unity? Of course they did. For some reason, God created all things. And somewhere back in before the beginning of time itself, God had a thought. God had a plan. God had a purpose that he would do something. And often, even as Christians, we can forget what the purpose of God was back in the beginning. And we can focus on other good things and miss what the original purpose was. Shall we go to the Word of God? Let's go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And we'll start reading at chapter 5. The epistle to the Ephesians. Chapter 5, and I'll start reading at verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. Can all the married people say amen there? This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. It's incredible how many Christians read that passage of Scripture and think that God is primarily talking about the relationship with a husband and a wife, when God's word clearly says he's primarily talking about Christ and the church. The picture of a husband and wife is actually just the illustration of God's original purpose. God's original purpose was to create a bride for his son. That was the purpose of all creation. You'll notice there that in that letter to the Ephesians, it says, for this purpose a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his bride. And there the apostle is quoting God's original statement back at the beginning of creation in Genesis. He is quoting the statement of God's original intent of why he created things. The purpose of creation itself. You see, after God had created everything, after God had created the heavens and the earth, after God had separated the waters from the land, after God had created the animals, male and female, he then created man, singular. Why did God create all the animals, male and female, and then create man, singular, without a wife? Had God forgotten his pattern of creation? No, God was purposely revealing to us that when he created man, he was showing us the ultimate revelation of what his purpose for creation was. It is not good for man to be alone. Then why did God create man alone if it was not good after he had said it was good? He created animals, male and female, so why did he create man, male, without the woman? Because God was revealing to us the ultimate pattern of what his creation was about. Do you know Adam is called the Son of God? In the Bible, read the genealogy of the Gospel of Luke, you will see that Adam is called the Son of God. He is a direct picture of Jesus Christ. God is revealing to us through the Scriptures that his purpose of creation was ultimately to create a bride for Jesus Christ. That was the purpose of God's creation. God had perfection, but because God himself is divine love, he decided within the nature of the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he would create something that would be like God, that could belong to God, that could be inhabited by God, that could be brought into unity with God. It would be separate from God, but it would be a part of the divine nature, with God's Spirit dwelling within it and having it able to be united with God himself. He was creating the bride. And that's the ultimate revelation of God's heart. And that is the purpose of creation. And where we read there in Ephesians that Christ died for his church and his purpose for his church, most theologians will tell you that the highest revelation of Paul's theological understanding was found in the book of Ephesians. What is the ultimate revelation and climax of all history? It's the return of Jesus Christ. God's word itself, God's holy revelation, reveals the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the climax of all history is the conclusion of God's purposes. What is that conclusion? The return of Jesus Christ. Well, when you read the book of Revelation, there's something that happens after that. There's something that happens after that. That isn't the end. That's just the beginning of a new creation. Actually, the climax of the book of the Revelation is the revelation of the bride of Christ. After the angel has revealed Jesus returning, the angel then turns to the apostle John and makes this incredible statement. Now, come, I will show you the bride. If you want to see the glory of man, you look at his bride. I thought some of the women may have said amen then. No, that's in the Bible. Man is the glory of Christ, but the woman is the glory of man. In Corinthians, yeah. If you want to see the glory of man, you look at his bride. If you want to know if a man is any good, look at his bride. Ooh, ouch. Ooh. 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 If you want to know if a man is any good, look at his bride. If his bride's unhappy, he's doing something wrong. Am I getting into trouble here? Okay, you can quiz my bride afterwards. My bride is there. If I'm doing my job correctly, my bride will be satisfied. My bride will be fruitful. My bride will be holy and righteous if I'm doing my job correctly. What did Jesus do? He washed his bride. He purifies his bride. He inhabits his bride. He satisfies his bride. He makes his bride fruitful. He makes his bride realize how much she is loved. That is what Christ does for his church. That is what he does for you, because you are his bride. He died for you. Even now, he intercedes for you. Even now, he is preparing all things for his bride. His last words before he went to the cross: I go away to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I will come back and I will take you back to the wedding banquet. We will be made one and you will live with me forever. That's what the Lord's doing. And when John saw the revelation of the bride, his mind was blown. And do you know the last words spoken in Scripture? Oh, it's God. Actually, it's the Spirit and the bride that speak at the end. It's the bride who's speaking. The Spirit and the bride say, come. It's the bride that is speaking at the end of time, because she is finally in unity with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus desires to speak through his bride. If you want to know what I want, ask my wife. She knows better than I do. Well, so she tells me. I don't know what to wear. I have to check with her. She knows what I want to eat. I say, I'd like a steak for supper, darling. She'll say, no, you don't. You want this. I go, okay. You're right. I do. I like this jacket. No, you don't. You like this jacket. Okay. You're right. I do. Because I have learned my purpose in life is not to satisfy myself. My purpose in life is to satisfy my bride. Hello? Yeah, come on. If you don't believe that, that's fine. Just don't ever get married. That's fine. If you don't, I don't agree with that. That's fine. Stay single. Don't get married. It will not work. The purpose of God is to be in unity with his church. The purpose of God is so that he can indwell with you, so that you are one. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. A woman will leave her old creation, and she will be united to her husband, and the two will become one. Can you remember in the Gospels where the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, is it permissible to divorce, for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? And what did Jesus say? Did he get into a theological argument about whether you can marry and divorce? No, he wasn't interested in that. It's a fallen world and these things happen. No, he said one thing. He said, have you not read that which was in the beginning?
Yeah. That's good.
What was God's purpose? What was God's plan? What did God say? Not what do you theologically try and work out what you can get away with. Can I do this? Can I do that? You're asking the wrong questions. What did God say? Why has God created you? Why are you here? Have you not read that which was in the beginning? the two will become one flesh. What God has joined together, man must not separate. What was Jesus talking about? A code of ethics for marriage? I don't think so. I think he was revealing his heart for his bride. And I think he was reminding them what God's purpose was from the beginning. And Jesus was revealing to them, I'm coming to take my bride. You are not going to take her from me. You see, Jesus will never divorce his bride. Jesus will never divorce his bride. He gave his life for her. He died for her. And even now he gives her all things. Even now, all things in Christ are yours. Everything I own belongs to my wife. In fact, it's probably more hers than mine. And husbands, if you haven't figured that out yet, you really are in trouble. It isn't your house. It's her house. Because you are one with Christ. How did Christ obtain his bride? How did Adam obtain his bride? Adam's life was suspended. His side was opened up. God reached inside. He took out the DNA of Adam and he created the bride out of the already existent life of Adam, the Son of God. Did you get that? That isn't how God created everything else. When God created everything else, he stooped down and he took the dust and he formed it into living creatures. But when he created the bride, he didn't stoop down and pick up dust. He reached inside and took out Adam, who had the breath of God breathed into him, and he formed the bride out of the already existent life of God. When you come to Christ and become a part of his church, when you belong to him, you are not created out of the old dust. You are not created out of the old purpose of creation. You are born from heaven, born from the Spirit, born out of the already existent life of God. You can't die. Because you're a new creation. And when Christ wanted his bride, his life was given up. His side was opened up. His blood and water spilled onto the ground. His very DNA was taken by God. And that is why you are created by the Holy Spirit himself. You're a new creation. You're born of heaven. You can't die. Because you're not made of dust. You're born of God. You belong to God. The first chapter of John makes that very clear. To those who believed him, to those who believed on his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Not born of a parent's decision, but born of God. The church is not of this earth. It is not dust. It's born from heaven. It's inhabited by God's Spirit. It is by very nature supernatural. Its very life, its very essence, its very living being is of the DNA of Jesus Christ. From Christ being brought to Christ. When Jesus died on the cross and his side was opened up, the church was being taken and created. And when Eve was created out of Adam, it says, God brought Eve to Adam. He didn't tell her to find her own way to him. God brought her to Adam. And what did Adam say? You are now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We are one. Two become one. Two become one. And when a man unites to his wife, that is what God says, the two become one. But he's primarily talking about himself and his church. There isn't God and his church. There isn't Jesus and his church. They're not separate entities. The Spirit only lives in the church. Did you know that? Yes. The Holy Spirit never dwells anywhere else. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. But he only inhabits his church. Why? Because a husband only becomes one with his bride. They're only united together. They're only those two. I am never one with any other person. I am only one with my bride. And when I become one with my bride, a child is created. And at that instant, there is a trinity, three people in one. Me, my bride, my child. The unity of man and woman is a direct parallel of the trinity itself. That is how children are born. Life only comes from a trinity. That is why God created his church, to reveal to all the angels, to reveal to all the universe, to everything created, I have now created something that is made in my very image. I have now created something that is so like me, it upset Satan so much. But that is what the church is. That is who we are. We belong to God himself, purchased by Jesus Christ. You see, according to the Hebrew understanding, you can't just take a bride. You have to purchase a bride. You've got to pay for her. How can you pay for this bride? How can you pay? She's so expensive. Jesus had to pay with his very own blood. He had to purchase the church with his blood. When Adam and Eve fell, mankind fell into a sin that was beyond repair. They rejected the life of God. They rejected the marriage covenant that God had made with them. Do you know when we take communion, it's actually a celebration of an ancient marriage ceremony? Did you know that? Yes, they do it at Passover. But when a man takes a woman, according to Hebrew custom, he gives her a glass of wine. And when she drinks the cup of wine, she's saying to the bridegroom, I am now betrothed to you and you are betrothed to me. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And then at that moment, after they drink the cup and they make the covenant together, they are betrothed. They are legally married. But yet, the wedding ceremony still has to happen. What happens at that point? The bridegroom goes away to build a house for his bride. Do you know how he builds the house? He builds it adjacent to his father's house. Hallelujah. And then he says to the bride, now be ready. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to take you back to my father's house. And at that moment, we will have the marriage supper. And at that moment, we will be united together. What Jesus was saying when he instituted the new covenant in his blood, he says, you now belong to me and I belong to you. You are now my bride. I am now your bridegroom. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come back and get you. You better be ready. But here's the really annoying thing. He didn't tell the bride when he was coming back. Because if she was really his bride, she'd be ready. It wouldn't matter when he came back. She would be ready. Every day she would wake up and think, perhaps today is the day that he comes to take me home. And the greatest warning Jesus ever gave to his followers were be ready and be dressed. Women, you've got to be dressed on your wedding day. Did you know that? Don't wait till your wedding day to decide what you're going to wear. It will be too late. You need your bridal garments now. You need to have them ready now. When Jesus said he was coming, he said, make sure I don't find you naked. Be clothed and ready. I'm coming to take you away. Don't be a foolish virgin who knew there was a wedding coming but they weren't ready. How can you not be ready for a wedding? Have you ever attended a wedding and not got ready for it? Have you ever been a bride? How many brides have we got? People who've been, right, okay, women, did you ever forget your wedding day? Did you get up that morning and think, I'm sure there's something I had to do? Let me just check my diary. You didn't wake up and think, now what shall I wear? You knew what you were going to wear. You knew what you were going to do. Why? You had been planning that day all year. You'd been preparing for that day for weeks. You were ready. Is the bride of Christ ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are we ready? You know, scripture is full of women who weren't ready and examples who were ready. If you've ever read the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, there's two brides in that song. One hears a knock at the door. She gets up. She goes away with her husband. He takes her to the spice-laden mountains. That sounds good. But then later in chapter 5, he knocks at the door and there's another woman and she says, I've taken my robe off, must I put it on again? Behold, my beloved is at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Will you let me in? Do you know who Jesus said that to? His church. The church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. I'm at the door. I'm knocking at the door. You aren't even letting me in. How can I take you to the wedding? In the Song of Songs, the bride didn't put a guard. She didn't answer the door. She knew it was the beloved. When she finally got up to answer the door, you find these words written there in Scripture. My beloved had left. He'd gone. He'd left me behind. I didn't want to go. I wouldn't get dressed. I wasn't ready for the wedding. But she knew. She knew. The foolish virgins knew. The church knows he's coming. We know what his words were. His final words were, I'm coming soon. Are we ready for the wedding? Do you know Jesus spoke about the coming wedding banquet more than anything else? Do you know who was thrown out of the wedding banquet? The person who wasn't dressed for the wedding. Jesus died for his bride. He purchased his bride. He's coming for his bride. You'll find one of the most important aspects of the bride in Scripture is that God's bride must never be barren. Have you known brides? But they're barren. They're fruitless. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth. They know what God's promise is, but they seem so barren. They know God wants them to be fruitful, but they're unable to birth anything. It's incredible how many of God's own people never seem to achieve anything, never seem to do anything, never seem to birth anything, never seem to have any fruit. God's bride is never barren. God's bride is not a widow. God's bride is a fruitful woman. Very fruitful. And you see, every bride in Scripture, whether it's Sarah, whether it's Rebecca, whether it's Rachel, they have an option. How are they going to birth children? Every Christian in this room right now, you have a choice. How are you going to be fruitful for God? What are you going to do? Do you know what Abraham did? He found another woman. Do you know what Jacob did when Rachel was infertile? He found another woman. God hasn't got another woman. Jesus only has his church. Abraham birthed Ishmael through a slave woman. God will never birth children into slavery. God will never treat his bride as a slave. God will never get rid of his bride to try someone else. Christ purchased you with his blood, and he will make you fruitful. But you have to stick to him. Not look for another man. Not look for someone else. Not look for another option. You have to trust God. Because the bride of Christ will never be barren. She's always going to be fruitful. You have to believe that. Because that is where faith comes in. And every woman of God in Scripture who birthed the promises of God had to lay hold of God by faith and prayer. And then they were fruitful. Hannah was barren. And what did Hannah do? She sought God and she ended up having many children. After Sarah had failed by allowing a slave woman to be used, what happened? She finally came to a point where she believed God. And she birthed Isaac. Rachel did the same. Elizabeth did the same. All the barren women in Scripture who trusted God eventually birthed God's promise. And Jesus Christ was born of a woman. Because that was the promise that God gave back to Eve in the garden. He said to the woman, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. It's what the church births that defeats Satan.
Yes. Amen.
The problem is Satan heard that prophecy. That's why Satan hates women. Did you know Satan hates women more than men? Did you know that? Did you know that's why evil religions force the woman to cover up? That's why evil religions degrade the woman and treat them as sex slaves. Because that's how Satan wants to treat the church. The church must just be a slave. But Jesus will never treat his bride as a slave. Jesus always sets his bride free. Even slaves that were captured in battle, once they were betrothed, you read this in Leviticus, once they were betrothed to an Israelite man, they had to be set free. Because God's bride is free. God's bride is always free. The church of Jesus Christ is not a slave, she's free. Are we birthing God's promise? Are we trusting God to birth his promise through us? Or are we trying all our carnal tactics to achieve God's purpose? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't outsmart God. We're one with God and his spirit has to flow through us. And if we will trust God through patience, through faith, trusting in his word, his seed will always become fruitful if we will trust him. But you see, many Christians, they give God a time limit. Hello? What did Rachel say? Give me children or I die. No, actually, you're not going to die. Because the bride never dies. But she decided if she didn't get what she wanted, she was going to try something else. And some Christians treat God like that. What did Sarah do? God has prevented me from having children. No, he hasn't. He's just waiting for the right time. But she wasn't going to wait for the right time. So she said, Abraham, here's my slave woman, use this. And she birthed a problem that's still happening in the Middle East right now. We've had 5,000 years of warfare because of that stupid mistake. And it's getting worse. When we get to heaven, just have a word with Abraham about that. Why did you do that? But you know, Christians do that all the time. Faith's not working. Trusting in God's not working. I'll use my own carnal abilities to achieve God's purpose. And you birth Ishmael. And then you ask God to bless something that God never wanted to birth in the first place. And God can't bless something he hasn't birthed. God only blesses that which comes through his church. If it's birthed through his church by his spirit, God's blessing is already on it because it already has the DNA of God. Yeah. And everything in Christ is blessed. But if it's birthed through slavery, God won't bless slavery. God will never bless that. And that's why the bride has to trust the bridegroom. You know, every true man of God knew that. When John the Baptist appeared on the scene, what did he say? I'm the friend of the bridegroom. The bride belongs to him. Do you know who the bride belongs to? It's not a trick question. Jesus Christ doesn't belong to a pastor. Doesn't belong to an elders board. Doesn't belong to deacons. Doesn't belong to a denomination. I can tell you that for now. The church belongs to Jesus. You know, my bride sat there. You can say hello to her and bless her and I'll be appreciative. But if you try and take her home, I'll punch you. She's not yours. She's mine. No, she is mine. In fact, do you know she's the only thing I actually legally possess that cannot be taken from me while I'm alive on this earth? Hello? My house, I can lose my house. My car, my children will leave me. But my wife is death unto us part. We are betrothed to one another until one of us dies. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus is alive and he's not going to die again. Yes. And his bride isn't going to die either. Because Jesus says, he who believes in me and lives shall never die. She's alive by the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that's in the church. So the bride's not going to die and Jesus is not going to die. So they're together forever. for all eternity, Christ will have his bride. We belong to him. Every true man of God knew that. What did Paul say to the Corinthian church? I espoused you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. How dare you get involved with this world? Do you know that the apostles called loving the world a spiritual adultery? James said so. The apostle John said so in his epistles. You cannot love God and love the world. You're actually committing spiritual adultery against God. Too many Christians, they say they belong to God, but they flirt with the world. Oh, I'm just enjoying this. I don't care what you're doing. My wife doesn't enjoy another man. She belongs to me. We can do things together. Too many Christians, they want Christ on Sunday and the world Monday to Friday. Then on Saturday they repent and start getting ready to see their bridegroom again on Sunday. It doesn't work like that. He inhabits you. He is one with you. You cannot love the world. Anyone who loves the world, James says, is an enemy of God. God's going to come and judge this world. He doesn't want to judge his bride. He's already taken the wrath of God on behalf of his bride. His bride is not under condemnation. He suffered on the cross so his bride would never have to suffer. He took every penalty of sin so that his bride would never be punished. He hung naked so that she would be clothed. The church is the bride of Christ. So many Christians want a relationship with God, but they don't want to accept the church. You can't do that. Don't come up to me and say, Dave, I like you, but I hate your wife. Well, you just said you hated me as well. The Apostle John said, don't say you love God, but then hate your brothers. They're made in the image of God. You can't do that. If you hate them, you hate God. If you hate my bride, you hate me. If you hate the church, you hate God. Now, I'm talking about the true church. I'm not talking about ecclesiastical structures. Some of those are not Christ's bride. Some of those are the inventions of men. Dressing up like a bride doesn't mean you are one. The true bride has true intimacy with her husband. They know each other. They are united together. They love each other. They spend time together all the time. I never go a day without speaking to my wife, even when I'm on the other side of the world. The true Christian never goes a day without speaking to her Lord. You would never do that. You wouldn't want to do that. So we're the bride of Christ. And everyone in Scripture understood this important principle. You'll find even in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, there are certain women mentioned throughout that. You know the first chapter of Matthew, that chapter you all skip when you're reading the Gospels? Adam begot them, and then he begot them, and he begot that. But then God puts in four women. And you know the four women that he mentions were all women who belonged to tribes that God said couldn't belong to him. Did you get that? Ruth, you all know the story of Ruth. Ruth belonged to the Moabite tribe. They were cursed by God. Tamar and Rahab, they were Canaanites. God specifically told his people, do not marry a Canaanite, they're unclean. And when you go through Scripture, you'll find women who belonged to tribes that were cast out by God, that were excluded by God. But when they married someone from the tribe of Judah, they were made clean. Tamar and Rahab were Canaanites, but they married into the tribe of Judah, and they became clean. Ruth was a Moabite. She married Boaz, the kinsman redeemer of Judah. She was redeemed. She was made clean. And these women, through their genealogy, birthed Jesus Christ. How can a woman who was unclean be made clean? Simple. She marries into the tribe of Judah. Jesus doesn't love me. I'm unclean. Yeah, but the husband washes his bride and makes her pure by the washing of the water of the word. He speaks his word into you. His word, when it comes into you, makes you clean. Yeah, when Jesus spoke to his disciples in the upper room and he washed their feet, and Peter said, "Wash my whole body," he says, "You don't need a whole washing. You have believed in my word, you are already clean." Yeah. The word of God makes you clean. Yeah. Your sins are washed away. Then your sins are paid for by the blood. The bride is clean. The bride is very clean. The bride is the cleanest woman in all history. Because the blood of Christ is the most powerful cleansing agent in all history. It doesn't matter where you belonged. It doesn't matter which tribe you came from. It doesn't matter what uncleanness you had. Jesus Christ washes you, makes you clean. You now belong to him. Holy and pure, without stain. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. And as Christians, we have to start seeing the church as Jesus sees the church. Because he doesn't like people slapping his wife around. He doesn't like it. We have this privilege of belonging to the church, to the bride of Christ. To this thing that the prophets prophesied. You will notice every prophet prophesies about brides. In fact, a prophet's very life was a prophecy of what God was doing with his people. You remember Isaiah, what did he say? The virgin will be with child. He gave the prophecy of the bride birthing the promise. Jeremiah lived in a sinful generation. And so he was told, don't take a bride from this generation. Because that generation was under judgment. Ezekiel gave a prophecy about how a bride was cleansed from all her sin. Hosea had to remarry his bride, even after she committed adultery, as a sign to us that even when we fail, God forgives us and still brings us back. Every prophet gave a picture of the bride. All those books are pictures of the bride. Esther is a picture of the bride. Ruth is a picture of the bride. The Song of Songs is a song about the bride. Do you know God sings a song over those he loves? It's called the Song of Songs. When you read the Song of Songs, remember it is God's love song to you. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. My darling, you are beautiful. I am coming to get you. He'll never leave his bride stood at the altar. He's coming to take us away. So I just want to encourage you all this morning. Understand God's love for us. Understand his purpose. He died for us. He created us to belong to him. He's paid everything. He's taken away our uncleanness. He's coming back to get us. There's nothing more certain in the whole of history. And when the bride is taken, there is a harlot put in charge of this world. She's called the harlot of Babylon. A false church system. That's going to come also. But the true bride has nothing to do with that. We belong just to him, to fulfill him, to be fruitful for him, to be ready for him, to be indwelt by him, and to achieve all that he has called us to achieve. Because we're the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to hand back to Pastor Shane.
God, praise God.